Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Welcome you back to another episode of Inside Boxing Live. We are presented by PPV.com. It is Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri. We have a lot to talk about today. A monster Saudi Arabia 5-on-5 card that saw Queensberry sweep, that saw me almost lose everything on my six-leg parlay. But like I said, this episode is brought to you by PPV.com. PPV.com is the only way and the premier way to order pay-per-view events. Tank versus Frank, Benavidez versus Vadzik is coming up very soon. It's less than 2 weeks away. PPV.com is the place to order that fight if you're not going. We will be there, boots on the ground, as usual, for big fights here in the U.S., doing our content, doing our live shows Thursday and Friday, and that's all thanks to PPV.com. You can stream the fight at home on your tablet, on your phone, on your big screen TV. Like yesterday, we're in the middle of the summer, right? I'm watching the fight at the pool. I'm going inside. I'm going back outside. I'm going to get a nice coffee. With PPV.com, you can have it on your phone. You can go from phone, you can go to tablet, you can go to big screen TV. That's the beauty of PPV.com. No subscriptions either. So that's the best way to order Tank versus Frank. There's a link in our bio on YouTube to join in and order that fight. Chris.
Hey guys, also check out Dan Canobio's Instagram. He was being pool boy Dan yesterday. He was hanging out, lounging, watching the fights at the Canobio Event Center. This guy was looking like a million bucks.
I was feeling good yesterday. I honestly woke up in the city and I was like, I looked out the window and I was like, bro, it is like a 10 out of 10, 80 degrees. I can either just sit around New York, like watch in my apartment, or I was like, let me get my car and drive out to my parents' house on Long Island, where they have an outside oasis. Like, I know my dad was going to be watching outside, so I surprised them. Watched the fight. I saw you were watching with a few legends. Was it Paulie Razor Renone?
Naji, Tommy the Razor Renone. We were a little Long Island strong there. We had Tony Ricci there as well. Another Long Islander who's now moved south. Big strength conditioning coach, worked with a lot of top guys in his years. So, yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, it was an awesome watch. Let's just get right into it. It's the 5-on-5 episode. It's the 5-on-5 recap. Overview, I thought it was an amazing card. I mean, these were 50-50 fights heading in. A lot of them were, like, not exactly, but the odds were close. We talked about that in the last episode. That's the reason why I went 1-for-5 in my picks, or 1-for-6 in my picks, because these were really hard. And I saw a lot of people responding to me saying, Dan, you're such a hero for posting your losses too. Like, Dan, you're such a great guy. You're an amazing person. Wow. All we see is Floyd Mayweather post his winning tickets. It's so nice to see someone post their losses. I said, okay, guys, it's not about me. But I also saw a lot of people saying, I lost a lot of my bets too. Like, I'm 0-for-5 today. I'm 1-for-5 because these were close fights. These Saudi cards are separating the pretenders from the contenders. These are evenly matched fights. They're throwing a lot of money. They're, in a way, exposing some of these promoters and exposing some of these fighters on how they were built up in their careers. I think it's great. Do I think it was a little long? Yes, it was a six-hour show. It was borderline ridiculous how long that card was. But if you're going to give me great fight after great fight, I'm willing to sit there for 6 hours. I liked it. Top to bottom, I thought it was a fun afternoon.
I have zero complaints about the length of it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. As long as it's not starting at 8 p.m. and goes for 6 hours, true, I'm fine. If it's all Saturday afternoon and I can sit by my pool and grill and watch fights and especially good fights, the fights were awesome, guys. This was a top to bottom great event. Listen, Turkey Al-Sheikh, His Excellency has been talking about following the UFC model. Well, he did it, guys. On Saturday, we had top to bottom good fights. You know who's getting their ass kicked? Not just Dan and the bets. Vegas. I love that. I love when the odds are wrong. This is so great to me. Listen, yeah. we were super wrong on a couple calls recently, Ryan Garcia being one of them. Hey, listen, good. I like being wrong because that means the fights were unexpected and this is the theater of the unexpected. So anytime that happens, listen, it's good for boxing. Saturday, yesterday was good for boxing. We had great fights. I mean, top to bottom, awesome, awesome event. I had a ton of fun. I don't care how long it is. Make them longer. As long as it's Saturday afternoon, I'm done. If I'm done by 9 p.m. on Saturday, I'm aces.
I will say that, yes. Afternoon fights are interesting. If you can have that set up, if you can watch on your phone, which you can with DAZN, you can do that with PPV.com. There's a lot of ways to watch these fights. Some people just want to tune in for the main event, and that's fine. And that was Wilder and Zhang.
They're missing out.
Well, these fights. Yeah, I know. There are some fans that just want to watch the main event. So if you just wanted to watch the main event.
There was like five main events last night, yesterday. They were really, really good fights. And listen, any one of those fights could have been a main event of a weak, quote-unquote, card. But they were all good.
But we're living in a different time. We're living in the Saudi time where you're getting first fight of the night would probably be a co-main on like a PBC pay-per-view. But if you were just like, hey, I'm going to tune in for the main event. Let me see what Wilder's got. It was 8 p.m. I mean, that's legit perfect time. As far as the 5-on-5 thing, I want to get your thoughts on this and I'll give you mine. Like, I liked it. Like, it wasn't the main reason I was watching. I was watching for the fights. Did I like the little gimmick? Yes. Did I think DAZN went a little overboard with it? Of course. Do I think the promoters were basking in it? Yes. Am I surprised? No. But Queensberry goes a perfect 5-0. They sweep. And like we said in the last episode, like the Brits love this stuff. They eat this stuff up. Warren versus Hearn is a big deal for them. Bitter rivals for years, and they come together. They're talking trash and they're having fun with it. That's fun. I thought it was a nice added wrinkle to it. Was it the main reason we tuned in? Absolutely not. Are they going to keep doing this? Yes. I think they're going to keep on doing this. It's fun. Like, there's a lot of gimmicks in boxing lately, like overtime rounds and this bells and whistles. Just give us really good fights and then let that be the main thing. And then the gimmicks can be just little throw-ins. And I thought that was good yesterday. It was a little over the top, but I expected that. But the fights were good. The Hearn stuff and the Warren stuff, I mean, we're used to that by now.
I liked it. I loved it. I liked it before it even happened. Yeah, I mean, listen, when you had the face-off of Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren in the beginning in the ring, like, was that necessary? No. Was it a little stupid caveat? Sure. I didn't mind it. But I did take from that. Frank Warren's like, we're going 5-0. And Eddie was like, oh, we got 50-50 fights. And Frank's like, no. and then he followed through. He's like, I got the better fighters. My guys are going to win. I thought that was cool. But now, biggest loser of the night, Eddie Hearn. Match Hearn.
Eddie doesn't have a lot of bad days. This is a bad day for Eddie Hearn.
Bad day for Eddie Hearn. Got his ass kicked.
He did. And there was like a $3 million bonus, of course, that goes to Queensberry. I hope that gets spread out to all the fighters.
I was wondering about that. We were talking, Paulie and I were talking, like, is there a bonus for the winner of this thing?
$3 million.
And how much of that do you think went to the fighters?
I was going
to
say, how much of that went into Frank Warren's three-piece
suit? Guys listening, I'll tell you right now, dealing with promoters, zero of that went to the fighters.
Yes, I hope so. I hope it went to the fighters.
It did.
Yeah, I guess you can, like, if you, yeah. I guess if you, like, peel it back a little bit, and it's like, everyone thinks Matchroom is the premier promotion, you know, in the UK. Right. Queensberry was always, like, you know, trailing behind, like the little engine that could, until Warren started, you know, linked up with Fury. He has some good fighters. Like, yes, if you really want to, like, peel this back and take a look at, like, the 5-on-5, like, he has good fighters. Like, Shiraz and Ammo Williams were, like,
Shiraz is very, very good.
That's what I mean. Like, they're considered, like, Ammo and Shiraz were considered, like, kind of, like, on the same trajectory. But it's very clear who's the better prospect, or Shiraz is a little bit ahead of him. But what my point is, like, maybe you could make a case from this, because boxing, all we do is just hypotheticals. This is the first time we saw, like, one stable go against another stable. You can make a case, and you know that Frank Warren's going to do this, because that's what promoters do. I know how to develop fighters better than Eddie Hearn. I know how to bring them to the level, and then when they get in the ring with them, we beat them down. They're 100%. Frank Warren's going to use this as a selling point to young fighters now.
Why would he not? He's going to sign a lot of fighters off of this event, literally. This is how promoters work. I've seen the way these guys operate for a very long time, and 100%, this is going to be a talking point. This is going to be a signing point. This is a great way for Frank Warren to revamp, you know, his roster. He's going to have guys coming in now. Like, listen, I saw you. I know what you do. We got a little Clyde Champion appearance.
Oh, nice.
Hey, buddy.
Love Clyde. Clyde's the freaking man.
What's up?
Yeah. He loves the fights too.
Yeah, he has to. I mean, he's an Algerian.
Yeah, I mean, he loves the fights. He's an Algerian. His nickname is, you know, Champion. So he's Clyde Champion.
He probably loves the fight parties, your dog, because he's getting scraps. The scraps. Dude, all that meat.
First of all, so I fed him less yesterday morning. So I'm like, listen, we don't want a little fat doggy, okay? Because you're going to be getting scraps from all the people who are here. He's a big attention whore. He loves everyone around him. So he has a good time. He's very hungover right now because...
We're talking about Clyde, not Paulie, right?
Right. No, Paulie doesn't drink, so Paulie's not hungover.
Okay.
But we were up late.
Paulie's not laying in your house right now?
No. If anyone, it would be Tommy Rayone laying in my house. He was throwing him back a little bit. But yeah, Clyde gets hungover because he stays up past his bedtime when people are around. So he's moving slow today.
Okay. Yeah, so let's get into it. Let's start with the main event and work our way down, even though Ball versus Ford, I felt like was the most competitive fight, and we kind of had that nailed. Like,
we knew that,
That was going to be the best.
That was the only thing we were right about.
Yeah, I was off on a lot of my picks, and a lot of people were, but we just...
The only pick I was right was the main event. That was the only one I had.
Me too. I thought I was just so wrong, and that's fine. I like being... I could be wrong. Like, that's fine. People want
to... Guys, we're not married to our predictions. They are predictions. No. This is a very unpredictable sport, and especially when you have competitive fights. It is what it is.
So let's start with the main event. Zhihai Zhang stops Deontay Wilder in 6 rounds. Once again, Wilder can't pull the trigger. Zhang wasn't any better. He was just a little more willing, I thought, to stand and trade. The size difference was stark. I thought Wilder's body language was awful. He is clearly does have nothing left. He's clearly, hopefully, going to retire. A lot of it was about Wilder, once again, and, you know, kind of talking about his career and talking about, is he done? You got to talk about Zhihai Zhang first. He's the winner. He gets back in to the win column, coming off that Parker loss. It was a kind of a do or die fight for both guys.
Both guys, yeah.
I wasn't like super impressed with Zhang because I think Wilder was just like a shell of himself, but he was in way better shape and he's still willing to stand and trade. He's still a big name now, so he should get big fights. I think the main event went like exactly how we thought it was going to go. It was a staring contest for a little bit, and then Zhang found a home, and Wilder was done.
Yeah. Now the cat's out of the bag. I helped Zhang with his diet. You know, I got brought up on air, so I don't want to
take any... Dude, he looked so much different.
Yeah. I don't want to take any credit.
Like, physically.
But I remember what I said. I've said this about Zhang fights in the past. The weigh-ins matter for heavyweights, which is weird because a lot of people don't think they do. Dan, do you remember when Joe Joyce fought Zhang? And I said, why does he have abs? He's on the scale. Joe Joyce had abs in the I think it was the first fight. And I go, that's not a good look. He's never looked like that. He came in way lighter than he ever has. And I'm like, that's not good for a heavyweight. You don't need to be lean. You don't need to be a you know, ripped up guy. And he got his ass kicked by Zhang. And then Zhang, his last fight when he fought Parker, he came in at 290-something. And I was like, that's not good. So the team reached out to me and I said, well, listen, he's got to be in the low 280s, high 270s. That's where he's performed his best. The 290 is not a good look. And he came in 282 for the fight. Conditioning wasn't really a factor because it didn't go past 5 rounds. But yeah, he definitely looked better physically. But like you said, Wilder was just a shell. His legs look spindly. He came in at 214. And this is my point about heavyweights weigh-ins actually matter because you can be any weight. And a Wilder coming at 214 and Zhang coming in at 280, so he's lighter. They're both lighter. And obviously, it helped Zhang. It did not help Wilder. But also, Wilder, just he didn't look any different than he did in the fight with Parker. Unwilling to pull the trigger. Didn't have the belief in himself. Wasn't durable. Looked unsteady. I mean, he always used to, but he always knew. He's like, once I land this right hand, man. Even when he did land the right hand on Zhang, who's always been very, very durable, took the punch as well. Was able to get his head offline nicely. I think there was a great game plan by Sean George and the whole Zhang team. And yeah, I mean, they did what they were supposed to do. I said, I was like, I think he's going to break him in two in half, in 6 rounds. Yeah.
And it was weird. The spinning around thing was a weird visual. Like, I think something, he got hit in the eye. He was looking at the ref. He turns around. He gets hit. He was going to get knocked out no matter
that
what.
That was a beautiful check hook from a southpaw, which, yeah, I was talking to Paulie about this while we were watching the fight. That's the most dangerous sport, punch in boxing. Is the check hook from a southpaw position?
Because that was Pacquiao's thing.
Pacquiao, they called that Filipino ice. But also, remember DeMarcus Corley?
Yeah, chop chop,
chop chop. He had a killer check hook. He hurt Miguel Cotto and Floyd Mayweather with that punch.
I saw that on Instagram. I think Floyd was rocked worse by the chop chop punch than the Mosley punch.
Absolutely, because you don't see that.
But everyone points to the Mosley.
Everyone points to the Mosley. Nobody talks about the chop chop. Chop Chop was a bad dude because he had that. He knew he always had that. And a southpaw who can punch with both hands, most guys can't. Most southpaws are so lefty hand dominant. But when you got a guy who can get his head offline and he can chop with that slicing check hook the way that Zhang does a really good job just getting his head off just a little bit. And to do that against a puncher like Wilder, that shows supreme confidence. All right, I'm going to let this guy throw his power punch, the punch that knocks everybody dead. I'm going to get my head offline and I'm going to hit you right over it. Bang. And that was the punch that spun Wilder. Right. And then he cracks him again with another right hand and just ices him.
Yeah, Zhang, I thought, still looks good enough now to get himself another big fight.
His durability is a big part of it, too, though.
Durability, you said?
His durability, I think, is a big part of why he's trouble for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, it's cool that you worked with him. You know, we wanted to keep that a little bit under wraps, but the cat got out of the bag. That's something that you do, have been doing with a lot of fighters. That's cool. Something you did with me, and you got me on a regimen. I'm seeing results already.
You guys watch again. Watch his Instagram. This guy's posting food posts now. He's eating Champion lifestyle. You're going to see results soon.
Selfies. Did 10,000 steps the other day. I'm feeling good, guys. I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling like Zhang, not like Wilder. Let's talk about Deontay Wilder. Let's say that this is the end for him. And I put out a tweet right now, and it kind of blew up. I like to do this when I fear like a fighter's at the end of their career. A little retrospective that I can do in a paragraph that you do on Twitter. And what I said was like, shout out Deontay Wilder. This guy put U.S. heavyweight boxing back on the map.
Bomb squad.
In 2015, he re-energized the heavyweight scene here in the U.S. Yes, he fought less than opponents, but you have to think about his life and his career. This guy started boxing when he was 18 because he had a disabled daughter, a way to make money. He wanted to be in the NFL. He wanted to be a wide receiver. That didn't work out. So he goes, all right, I'm an athletic guy. Let me try boxing. Goes to the Olympics, wins a bronze medal, goes into the pros, knocks everyone out. Like, this guy was never supposed to even get to the point that he got to. That story is amazing. He has his detractors because he's a controversial figure. He became a controversial figure. A lot of people want to look at the negatives. They want to look at, oh, he can't box, his legs are this, blah, blah, blah. He didn't fight anybody. Just think of the story and what he did, and just think about where boxing was in 2015 from a heavyweight standpoint, with the Klitschko's reigning for 10 years, with fights in Germany that no one cared about, boring-ass fights. Wilder comes here into the U.S. He's now headlining Showtime fights, headlining Fox fights, knocking dudes out, spinning them out of the ring. Fun. Boxing is fun. He was a fun figure. He made fun fights with Fury. He tried to fight Povetkin that time. Povetkin popped for PEDs. He always wanted to smoke. I believe he wanted to smoke. The AJ thing is going to haunt him, I think, for a long time. We're never going to know what the truth there. Shout out to Deontay Wilder for what he did. He was a key figure in U.S. boxing the last 10 years.
High praise to Deontay. I loved his career. I loved when he fought. I was very excited every single time he fought. He's got some great wins. He knocked out Luis Ortiz twice. Luis Ortiz, especially at the times when he fought, very, very dangerous guy. You know, Bermain Stervine, that was the first time he ever struggled with a guy, ices him in one round in the rematch. You know, in hindsight, it doesn't look great because Bermain has really fallen off the map. The first fight with Tyson Fury was insane. The third fight was insane. Only really got, you know, routed in the second one. I mean, the guy has done a ton, but he is 4 of his last 5, and he's been stopped 3 times. We're at the end of the rope, and his last 2 performances were lackluster, to be nice. So he did a lot in this sport. He's a heavyweight world champion, American heavyweight world champion.
Bro, 10 title defenses.
we should give him his flowers because he made the sport very exciting. He beat some really good guys. And the way he beat them was really important, I think. He revitalized the heavyweight division in America. And it, like you said, it's unfortunate the Anthony Joshua fight was never made. But we have an all-time epic trilogy with Tyson Fury. So flowers to Deontay Wilder. I hope we don't see you fight again. And I'm saying that with the utmost respect. Because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times fighters are graded on their last few performances. And I don't think we should do that because the guy had a fantastic career.
Yeah, I mean, these last two fights were kind of like the golden parachute that you hear executives from like Enron and these guys get, like, where, you know, they get ousted from their job and they give them $20 million. That's what happened with Wilder. He got a lot of money for these final two fights based off of name recognition. If he would have won, he would have been there with Joshua. But, you know, he's in there with Zhang. He loses. He's in there with Parker. He loses. It doesn't take away from what he did earlier in his career.
And I always say there's three things a fighter needs to accomplish. They need to be world champion. They need to make a lot of money. They need to get the bag, and they need to leave the sport healthy. If, you know, Wilder's done two of those, you know, the only missing piece is the third.
Yeah, which I think he's done. Like you brought up before, like, and you did like the right hand. Like every fight he was in, he was down. Most of them, not every, but he was down on the cards. He was struggling, but he always had that belief. Mm-hmm. The belief is not there anymore. I didn't see the belief against Parker. No. Did not see the belief against Zhang. The lead up to the fight, all he talked about was retirement. Last stand this, retirement that. That's, as you know, Chris, and anyone that follows sports, if you're dropping the R word, if you're thinking retirement, you're already retired. And I think that was the case with Wilder. But it does make for some fun fights for Zhang. We'll get to Dubois in a second. Like Zhang, I think the AJ fight is there. He's got some big fights. Got the Lane brothers behind him. He's got Queensberry, Frank Warren. He's also signed. Well,
is he with Queensberry? Because he was kind of like a mercenary for this 5-on-5. They brought him in.
But he is. He had a co-promotional deal with Queensberry. He fought Joyce. It was under Queensberry, and I don't know if it's still.
Gotcha.
Who knows? Like, I don't know if it's still there. But, you know, Zhang wins. He revitalizes his career. He's 41 years old, but he can fight for another 2 or 3 years with his style. And he's now becoming like he's like a name. He's a name in the heavyweight division. He's very active. The last 22 months, he's fought Hergovic, he's fought Joyce twice, he's fought Parker, and he's fought Wilder. So that's a guy.
Those are good fights. Like the Hergovic fight was awesome, really, really good fight. The two Joyce fights I thought were really entertaining. They were fun to watch. You know, two massive heavyweights banging each other around. You know, the Parker fight was abysmal, but you know that's. I think that's how their styles matched up. But this fight was fun, too.
Yeah.
This is a fun banger with two big heavyweights, and you're always sitting there because we always think about, we just talk about how great, you know, Wilder was to watch. You're still sitting there like, maybe he still got that right hand.
But, I know.
You know, Wilder was just didn't have it.
There was that one round early on, or maybe not, maybe third. They started trading up against the corner.
Yeah.
And I was like, either guy can get iced right now. And that's heavyweight boxing. I stood up. I was like on the edge of my seat. Stood up and I was like, all right, Wilder, like he had one spurt in him when he like tried to throw the right. It was in that round, early rounds, and then he was done. But you know, if it is the end for him, he's gonna look back and have a pretty borderline Hall of Fame career because of all of the title defenses. It's a very, very controversial topic, but that's what makes the sport fun. You brought up Hergovic. It's the next fight. Philip Hergovic absolutely stunned by Daniel Dubois. This was a shocker. This was fun. Daniel Dubois, good for him. He took Hergovic's best shots early. I thought Hergovic was going to pace them. I was like, all right, Hergovic's going to get this guy out of here in 5-6 rounds. He's going to get his IBF title piece. He's going to fight the winner of Fury in Wilder. But, you know, all that. But Dubois is resilient, man. This guy is no longer the kid getting bullied, and Hergovic has to eat his words, because we brought him up on the last episode, Chris, right? Dubois, the little kid in the middle of the mall calling for his parents. That, eat your words, Hergovic, because Daniel Dubois, this guy, man, coming off the deck against Joyce, his orbital bone basically destroyed, rebuilds his career with some wins. The Usyk fight is another chance for you to dunk on Dubois that he quit. builds his way back up at the Jarrell Miller, where Miller was verbally abusing him all week long. And then he goes in there with Hrgović, who everyone was picking Hrgović to win, but Dubois comes out on top, 26 years old. Hard to believe, but now he has some really good wins, and he's potentially going to fight AJ Wembley. So that was a shocker of a fight, and I love that fight.
I'm going to say it. We got a new player in the heavyweight division. I'm saying it. Daniel Dubois is a new player in the heavyweight division. He is one of the top guys now. super dangerous guy. He showed that in the Jarrell Miller fight. I was really impressed with him in that fight. I saw his power. I saw how hard he hit with the right hand and the left hook. He showed durability last night. He was getting hit with some big right hands by a big guy, a very confident guy too. You know, the bully got schooled last night. You know, a lot of people have been bullying Dubois for years. And rightfully so, because he did look a little mentally weak at times. He's shown that. But I think he's overcome that, especially last night. You know, there was definitely a turning point for him in the Jarrell Miller fight. You got a guy who's in your ear all week, bah, 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 and then you go out there and you beat him up. Now you got another guy who's talking, he's basically looking past you, and then you beat him up. This is the classic bullied kid getting over on the bullies, and he's going to grow into a monster. And I think we have a new monster in the heavyweight division, and that is Daniel Dubois. I'm all for it. He's exciting.
He's
exciting as hell. And he can punch, man.
Do you see how big he was?
He's got the biggest arms in the heavyweight division. Those biceps are insane.
He's hitting the heavy bag. That guy is massive. And you're right, Chris. He was bullied. It was a classic. I think he has a lot of respect. I think all the reasons I just said, like the people wrote him off after that Joyce fight because, you know, taking the knee and the broken orbital.
To bat for him for that. A lot of people reached out because it's an orbital and they're like, Chris, you fought through an orbital. I'm like, listen, I'm not in any man's body at that time. I'll tell you this. Breaking your orbital is a wildly scary, painful thing to happen, especially in a fight when you have someone in front of you who's very, very dangerous. It makes you question. You're literally risking your life at that point because the pain is so strange. It's such a weird feeling. So I don't knock anyone who has thrown in the towel because of a broken orbital. I've been there. I didn't, you know, but also I believed in my skills. That I wouldn't get hit there anymore. But if you have to be in there getting hit, I get it, man. I went to bat for him when that first came out. Everybody's calling him a quitter. But look where we are now. This guy's back. He had a lot of places that he could have taken a nap yesterday. He was getting hit with some big right hands by a guy who could really punch. He went through the fire, you know, especially when you have that damaged eye. That thing's never the same, guys. A damaged orbital never heals. It's never the same. It is always susceptible. He was willing to take those shots, stay in that fight. Daniel Dubois, tip my hat to you, brother.
Dude, the guy, yeah, if you're saying anything bad about him now, you're just a straight-up hater. And if this is like a prime example on why living to fight another day is so important. Throw in the towel. If 23 years old at the time at that fight with Joyce, broken orbital bone. Live to fight another day because look at the day now. This is the other day. The day is Saturday in Saudi where he just beat Filip Hrgović. And now they're talking about Joshua versus Dubois at Wembley Stadium, which was a fight that we were dreaming about years ago. Because Dubois, remember he was coming up, like they were like, this guy looks like Mike Tyson. He's a bigger version of Mike Tyson. He's knocking fools out. I was like, yo, this guy's going to be the next AJ. This guy's going to be the next. I didn't realize that he wasn't really like that good on the mic. And he's like just a little quiet guy. But he's now like that's fine. That's become his personality. His personality is like he's a soft-spoken guy.
He's a silent killer.
Right, came soft-spoken guy that made it through the fire, and now he's fighting Anthony Joshua. I would be shocked if it's not Dubois Joshua on September 21st. Like I know Zhang wants to get his name in the mix, but Dubois is a way bigger draw in the UK for that fight. Yeah, bring on Joshua Dubois. Wembley Stadium, Turkey wants it. Early fall. I love that. Like, bring these fights back to Wembley. Like, AJ Wembley was, like, the move. That was everything. Yes. The 80,000, the fireworks. And, you know, AJ's been fighting a lot in Saudi, and I understand that for the bag and all that. But let's get a big heavyweight fight, a big British heavyweight fight at Wembley. Dubois versus Joshua is a great fight, and that's just pops up out of nowhere.
You know what's funny is Turkey, he did that interview in the middle of the show and completely
looked over Zhang. Interviews.
Completely looked over Zhang and is like, Wilder Joshua and Wembley, that's the fight to make. And no, it's not. That's not the fight to make. So, but I just thought it was so disrespectful to Zhang, like just looking past him, like, oh, that's a fight to make. I feel bad for Zhang.
Well, I will say this though. I will say this though. The Turkey. Did you see what he said to Zanad?
Yeah.
After the B-ball, he's like, "You're coming back. I'm bringing you back."
I was saying that during the fight because I thought he looked good.
He takes care of these fighters. Yes, it was very clear. I mean, he couldn't make it any more clear, the fight that he wanted to put at Wembley. He wanted Wilder and Joshua at Wembley, overlook Zhang, but he will get Zhang another fight. He will get Zhang another payday, without a doubt.
Yes. So, but again.
But I do agree. I do. When I was watching it, I was like, whoa, this guy does not, like, he's not even, like, trying to pretend what he wants. Like, boom, I'm sorry, Zhang, I want Wilder.
Yeah, but well, that's not happening now. So, that's why we fight the fights, right? And like I said, Dubois is a new player. And I think you're right. I think that fight makes a lot of sense. It's probably going to be the next fight. Again, I feel bad for Zhang. He's got to go fight someone else really, really tough, like he always does. But Joshua and Dubois makes a lot of sense. And I think it's a smart move on Joshua's standpoint because, listen, Dubois is very dangerous, but under those big lights, you put 80,000 in Wembley. Let's see if that guy who hasn't been there, you know, can handle the lights. So I think it's a really interesting fight. I think it's a good fight too. I'm not saying that Joshua goes out there and, you know, dominates. Like Dubois is a very dangerous guy. Obviously, he can take a punch. Sure. I think Joshua's probably the best puncher in the division at this point. His power is unreal. Everyone used to think it was Wilder, but I think Anthony AJ is the puncher now. Is the guy. Interesting fight.
Oh, it's a great fight.
Cool to see Turkey looking to do fights outside of Saudi and to especially look to Wembley. I love Wembley because where else in boxing can we get 80,000 people? You know, like in Dallas, Canelo did it. You know, I was there for that when he fought Saunders. It was awesome. That kind of atmosphere. If you've never done it, I highly recommend that anyone who's listening, if you ever have an opportunity to go somewhere where you can get that kind of crowd for a boxing match, absolutely do it. The energy is out of this world.
Yeah. It's so sick. I went to Jerry World for a Spence fight. It wasn't 80,000. It was like 60. It was
that's
so
still,
loud.
That's the loudest, still ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
Loudest roar I've ever heard was when Spence.
Over 20,000 is out of control. Anytime you're
right,
over 20,000.
20,000 is like the standard, like MSG or Staples Center all those arena, Grand Garden Arena or T-Mobile. How about Hrgović versus Zhang, too?
Yeah. First fight was fun. Matchmaker Dan. That sounds like a very, very possible fight. You know, Hrgović, though, he's got to deal with those cuts. So that's going to push him back. That's going to push it back. Because Zhang had an easy night. Zhang barely got hit. No cuts to speak of. No damage, really. But Hrgović is cut over both eyes and suffering his first loss. So I don't know if he comes right back into a fight of that magnitude. But who else? Yeah. Who else is Zhang mix it up with at this point? Heavyweights, we're all sitting outside, right? We're all sitting outside the box looking at, you know, Fury and Tyson, the rematch. I'm sorry, Fury and Usyk rematch, or Usyk and Fury rematch.
Right.
So all these other guys, AJ included, are on the outside looking in.
I'm pulling up the heavyweight picture. I think what's his name's going to be out for a while, Hrgović. I do want to talk about Hrgović in a second. There's Usyk is fighting Fury. Joshua is going to fight Dubois. Parker versus Zhang too. Caballel versus Zhang.
Agit.
That guy has two huge wins. He beat Sanchez, and he had another win before that.
Yeah, he's had two upsets.
Jared Anderson, Joe Joyce, no one cares about anymore, sadly. I like Zhang Hrgović too, but that Hrgović's got the cuts. But quickly on Hrgović, so we can keep this moving. Like, we talked about this in the last show. He had to play the game. He had to play that IBF game to get his title shot, not a huge draw. Doesn't have a huge promoter behind him, and it came back to bite him in the ass. Two fights in 2 years. I thought he looked sluggish in there. I didn't think he looked in the best of shape. I thought he took Dubois lightly. I thought he fought a terrible game plan. You've seen him use his legs before against Zhang. He wanted to stand and trade and maybe try to prove a point to Dubois. Backfired on him. rough night for Team Hrgović. He can bounce back because of Saudi and their willingness to put these guys right back in there. But this is a guy that's on the precipice of fighting or getting a piece of the heavyweight title and then being in there for Fury, being in there for Usyk. He turned down so many fights over the years, Hrgović, because he wanted to play that game. This is the side of boxing that kind of sucks, is when you have to do that and play those IBF games and play these organization games. Came back to bite him, I thought, against Dubois.
Activity. Inactivity is a killer, especially for young guys coming up. Not that he's young, but he's coming up because he's not really that well-known in terms of his experience. And that was the thing going into this fight. Dubois is way more experienced at 26 years of age fighting the guys that he's been fighting. And Hrgović has been passing fights up, like you said, playing the politics game. Well, came back to bite him in the ass. That's a tough game to play. And he bet wrong. He lost. And inactivity played a major part in the way that he performed, I believe, because I think he's actually a lot better than that. But also Dubois really showed up. And Dubois, who's been active, he just fought a couple months ago. He's been fighting the much higher level competition. The guy, his only two losses are a injury to an eye, which can happen to any fighter at any time, against a streaking Joe Joyce back in the day, who was, you know, the juggernaut. And then he loses to Alexander Usyk, one of the best heavyweights we've ever seen. So when you compare their resumes, you can't even talk about it. But also, I think the inactivity is big, and that's something we say plagues fighters quite a bit. You know, he's not an established guy, so not being active definitely hurt him.
I also think the Usyk's win over Dubois is aging very nice.
Yes. Well, do you remember the conversation Usyk had with Dubois after the fight? Grabbing him by his face and telling him, like, you have it. You're there. You're good. Like, you're going to come back from this. And
bro, Usyk's fucking awesome. How great is Alexander Usyk?
Ah, he's...
Did he ever make a false move? Does he ever make a bad move? No. Like, even that, when you just explain... I forgot that moment you just talked about. He went in there and, like, the body shot, whatever. I believe it was a low blow. I don't want to get into the whole debate. But he comes up and then he stops Dubois, who's clearly very, very good. And then afterwards, it's just like, hey, buddy, like, you're really good. I just want to let you know you're really good. I'm going to go on and fight Fury, and I'm going to beat him. I'm Alexander Usyk. I'm a god amongst
I'm the man, but you're really good too. Don't stop. He said that. Don't stop. Keep going. Like, dude, listen, I know you lost to me, but I'm awesome. But you're really good too, and you should keep going. That's fucking awesome. Usyk's going to be in a movie, I heard. I heard he's going to play I forgot the name of the fighter, but he's going to be in the new Mark Kerr movie. Where The Rock is
good
playing
for him, bro. Like, that's the only thing about Usyk is, like, he's not really like a household name. Like, everyone at John Boy and everyone, that's how I judge stuff in boxing, knew who Tyson Fury was, of course. But, like, they're like, who's Usyk? Like, who's Usyk? He's a character. Like, he should get out there a lot more. It's a shame he's 36, 37. He'll have the rematch and he'll get some, you know, he'll be in this movie. I wish Usyk was out there a little more, but it's just not really who he is. That's kind of why people like him, is because he's the anti-Fury, in a way. All right, Chris, the next fight wasn't part of the 5-on-5, but it was a chance to watch Dmitry Bivol operate. Gets the stoppage over Malik Zinad. Dropped him in the first. I thought Bivol was more on his front foot. I thought he was in the pocket more. He did get hit a little bit, but that's going to happen. I thought maybe he heard some of the chirps, because everyone's just talking about his lack of power. 9 straight decisions heading into this fight. Gets the stoppage. The big story, though, is that Beterbiev versus Bivol is rescheduled for October 12th in Saudi Arabia. We're going to get the 175-pound undisputed fight, one of the best fights you could make in boxing. I thought Bivol looked good. He's what he needed. He needed a stoppage, and he stays active, which is important, and that's fine. It was a nice little consolation that we watched in the middle of a 5-on-5.
Yeah, I mean, we got to see one of the best fighters in the world operate, like you said. I think it was important. And Zinad, Malik Zinad, is a guy that I've actually been following for a little bit, and he's good. He fought well, and he fought confidently early on. He was just overmatched in terms of scope and skill and who he had in front of him. Unfortunately, his first shot was against, you know, one of the best fighters in the world. And I think Turki Alashik mentioned that. So he wants to bring him back. I'd like to see him again. He fought a tall guy fight very, very well. Fought on the outside. Even though he had that left hand languishing low, he was snapping jabs in there. He was setting a line in the sand. He was countering well. Landed some really good, tricky right hands on Bivol, which is really hard to do. You know, didn't show game-changing power, but was tricky enough to pull the trigger at the right times and actually hit a guy who defensively is a master. So, but also, now speaking about Bibble, man, the guy's back. Snaps a six-year no KO streak on a big card against an undefeated guy. Gets people excited, you know, because he by no fault of his own, he was out of the ring for how long, Dan? It was like
a while. Almost two, after Canelo?
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, how do you beat the best fighter in the world, or, quote unquote, you know, how do you beat the pound for pound king and then don't fight for 2 years? It was wild. So I think he's been getting back. You know, we saw the Lennon Arthur fight, ho-hum kind of performance, you know, Zerto. Now where he was that? Oh, yeah, the Zerto fight after Canelo, which he looked great. And beat a very good fighter.
Two fights since Canelo.
And then he had a huge break, and then he comes back to Lyndon Arthur, and that was, you know, like, again, a ho-hum fight, kind of like him just knocking off the rust. And then we had this fight, and he looked good coming forward. And I had people asking me in chats, they were like, well, is this the way that, you know, Bibble's going to fight Beterbiev? You know, because like you said, Dan, he was fighting off his front foot, he was being more aggressive. And I said, absolutely not. He knows what he has in front of him. He has a guy that is very, very tall. And if he goes tit for tat on the outside and fences with him, he's going to have a hard time because the guy was very, very tall, long, and physically strong. So he fights to win. That's what Bibble does. And I don't see him changing his style anytime soon in order to deal with, you know, a Beterbiev in a certain kind of way. He's not fighting for the fans. He's fighting to win, and which I appreciate. Beterbiev, I think he's gonna have a much different game plan if that fight ever happens, Dan. I'm being pessimistic, CA. No, I don't think that fight's gonna happen, guys. I'm sorry.
I'm riding along with you here. Optimistic Dan is not pessimistic.
Pessimistic Dan and pessimistic CA? Oh man.
It's a whole different podcast. It's a whole different podcast now. It's a negative
the dynamic
podcast.
Has changed, people. The dynamic is completely different now.
As someone that's getting up into his late 30s, like these injuries just come out of nowhere, and Beterbiev, like,
Dan creaks when he gets out of bed.
I do. I actually am in better shape, but I ran upstairs to we started to stop the podcast real quick. I ran upstairs to get my charger, came back down. A few 2 months ago, I'd have been huffing and puffing, right? Some of those DraftKings reads back.
I was going to say, potential sponsors. Dan's got lungs now. He can do these ad reads.
Yeah, baby. I got lungs, but I'm going to start putting that in my emails to these sponsors. By the way, we have this many followers. My lung capacity is through the roof. I've been working out with Chris Algieri. Thank you. So give us your longest read ever. But I'm along with you here. I'm along with you in the sentiment that I just don't know about Beterbiev. He's 40 years old. He gets hurt every single training camp. What's to say when, you know, it was meniscus? I know it's not the craziest injury. I've seen, you know, basketball players, football players come back pretty quick from those. But who's to say he doesn't have another injury in training camp for this October 12th fight? I thought it was interesting that Turki Al-Sheikh brought up Benavidez. He literally said, hey, I want you to fight Bibble. I want you to fight Benavidez. I want you to fight Beterbiev. So I think they're looking at Benavidez. He's fighting June 15th at 175 pounds. Bibble versus Benavidez at 175. Okay, that's a fight like I really didn't think about for a while, but now that it's presented to me and now that it's a possibility, would love to see Benavidez and Bivol shake it up.
Don't hate that at all. And even from a stylistic matchup, I think it's a good fight. And I'm not just going to say it's a foregone conclusion that Bivol wins that fight. I rate David Benavidez very, very high. I really want to see him at 175 against Vozdik, but I rate him very, very high. Even at the higher weight. So let's see how he performs and see how he looks.
Anything different. Do you remember two episodes ago, we talked about Benavidez and him being just labeled as a weight bully.
Yeah.
We chopped that up, put it on social media, hot take. I mean, people were debating it. I didn't realize how many Benavidez non-believers there are out there. It's mostly Canelo fans that don't like Benavidez, but there's a lot of non-believers in Benavidez in terms of his
skills,
resume,
his ability.
Skills, ability. They constantly bring up the weight. They constantly bring up his defense is poor. They constantly bring up the fact that he has never fought a puncher. I don't know, man. They constantly bring up that, not constantly, but now they're saying, like, let's see what he does at 175 first. Like, he's going to run through Vozdik. I'm very confident he wins that fight in under 8 rounds. Like, Vozdik is like half retired. I don't think that's a good way to judge Benavidez at 175. If he stays at 175 and he gets one more fight, then he fights Bivol, or if he goes right to Bivol, and then, yeah, we're going to see that. But there are a lot of Benavidez non-believers out there, which I found pretty interesting.
I think it's more what you said. I think it's more what you said, that you have more Canelo, you know, members, the you know, what does Paulie call them? The Canelo clown crew of guys who are just so into Canelo that anything.
Right, because Benavidez is so disrespectful, has been very disrespectful to Canelo.
Has he though? He just wants to fight. Like, I don't, he doesn't strike me as a disrespectful guy at all. I know, you know, that's been a narrative that's been pushed. I know the guy, I've talked to the guy. I thought he's an extremely respectful guy. He wants to fight.
Well, if you compare it to like Munguia was like way too respectful.
Well, look what happened in the fight. He got big brothered all week and big brothered in the fight. So guys, what are we doing here? It's a fight.
Cause you I heard that too. Like I read the comments, I put stuff out on social media, and I'm trying to interact more with the comment section. And it's like, well, Canelo, Munguia got the fight because he treated Canelo with respect. And Benavidez is disrespecting Canelo. I was like, guys, it doesn't matter what they say in the lead up. It's all about money. It's all about negotiation. It's a fight, first of all. But Canelo is not fighting Benavidez because of the things that Benavidez has said. He's fighting him because he doesn't like the money yet. So whoever comes in with the bag for Canelo, he will look at it, and then he will decide if he's going to fight Benavidez. He's not going to not fight him because Benavidez, you know, is clowning him or saying mean things about him.
Well, how many excuses are you going to use to not fight this guy? I mean, we've heard everything.
He's already used a lot of them. I know.
The weight.
Canelo's my guy, too.
Yeah, I know. We love Canelo on this show. We are Canelo Drip. Fans. I am a Canelo fan. I'm the only Canelo fan on ProBox TV, by the way. Like, we do these shows, and they, like, really just kill it. I'm like, I like Canelo. I think he's awesome.
You're actually allowed to go to his fights.
Yeah, right. I'm not barred from media credentials because, you know, I'm actually a fan. But, yeah, I don't know. Let's keep it moving. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, Hamza Shiraz.
Ooh,
he stops Ammo Williams in 10. Let's talk about Benavidez. This guy looks like Benavidez. He's a massive, massive 160-pounder. 160 pounds, as we've talked about often, is a barren wasteland. These were two guys that were going to elevate to 160. Guy can fight. He's just too big, too strong. I thought Ammo's corner kind of failed him a little bit. They could have stopped the fight a little bit earlier, talking about live to fight another day. It was a back-and-forth fight early on. Ammo had some great shots early on, but then Shiraz got behind that jab. Shiraz. Exactly. And then Shiraz got behind that jab, figured out, I'm the longer guy, I'm the bigger guy, I will box you, and then I will follow through with some rights of my own. I like Shiraz. I think this is a big coming out party for him, especially at 160, where, you know, this guy didn't have to take this fight either. He's a mandatory for, I think, the WBO at 160. But now you know who he is, and now this is another great way of these Saudi cards where it's like this guy could have sat back and waited, but he got in the ring. He got a stoppage over a prospect. He still has his title status. So all in all, good times for Shiraz.
And he got rounds too because he's been blasting people out. Liam Williams was basically a zombie walking out there when he got knocked out in the first round. But even the fights before that, he's been knocking guys out and pretty decent guys very, very early. So he got rounds in with a very tough athletic guy in Austin Williams. This fight came down to an athlete versus a boxer. Shiraz just much more experience. You know, he's got all the tools. I think they both do. But Ammo is a late guy, came late to the sport. He's a superb athlete, phenomenal athlete. But guys, this is boxing. I say this all the time. You don't have to be a great athlete to be great at boxing, but it definitely helps. This to me was a boxer versus an athlete. And Shiraz showed what boxing is.
Say it again. We lost you.
This fight was a boxer versus an athlete. And I say it all the time. You don't have to be a great athlete to be a great boxer, but it helps. But in this case, Shiraz, the better boxer, showed up and put on a fantastic performance because he's a very, very tough guy. Austin Williams was trying the whole time, but he took a beating. And Shiraz is a very, very talented young man.
I don't know what's going to happen with Ammo. Great story. He's not done by any
awesome
stretch of the imagination.
Take
some
kid,
time
man.
Off. Yeah, I mean, just mental health advocate and overcame a lot. And he's not done. He just takes some time off. He's got a good promoter in Eddie, and I know they have a really good bond. But Shiraz is now a player at 160. 160 is up for grabs. All right, final fight, which I thought was the most competitive fight on the card, was Nick Ball. Yes. Nick Ball beating Ray Ford. Ball is now the WBA featherweight champion. I had it a draw. I wasn't scoring every single round. A lot of people I saw on Twitter had Ford 115, 113 over predominantly what everyone thought was this was a fun fight. It was just like perfect stylistic clash with Ball coming forward, kind of being, I wouldn't say reckless, but reckless aggression. And Ford, the slick type of fighter, I would love to see them fight again. But I think Ford's going to go to 130 because I thought he didn't look that good at featherweight. He's too big. But coming out party for Nick Ball.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic fight. And I think anyone who knew anything about these guys and the sport of boxing knew this was going to be a great one. This is going to be the show stealer. Fantastic fight. I thought Ford edged it. I thought he did enough down the stretch. Damaging Ball's nose. He rocked him in the 12th round. To me, that was edging me towards Ford. But also, I'm a Ford fan. I like both these guys, honestly. But Ford, I actually am a big fan of. I like him. It's tough for me to be unbiased. I would have to go back and really actually watch it and score it because I was enjoying the fights yesterday. I didn't score any fights yesterday. I just watched. It was one of those fights. I mean, the scorecards were as spot on as they could be, right? 15-13, 15-13, you know, both ways.
Split decision. Scorecards have been good on these Saturday cards.
That's a good point. And so my esteemed colleague, Paul Imanaji, brought this up and it was a very, very astute point that because it's so quiet in there, the fans, first of all, I don't think there's a lot of fans there at all. Also, they're very, very quiet. It seems like the judging and the refs are making the right calls. They're not getting swayed by the, you know, so that little bit of clinicalness to the fights in Saudi are allowing for better calls, apparently, because the judging is has
good been point,
good.
Paulie.
Yeah, Paulie nailed that one.
Paulie's got good points, man.
He's a smart guy. He thinks a lot. He analyzes.
I did a few shows with him on the MVP, so we got to hang out and like I learned a lot working alongside him. That's a really good point. Yeah,
ton of experience.
I will say that an aside here, there was zero atmosphere. This was one of the quietest Saturday cards I've heard. It's probably because the Fury one was just 2 weeks ago, and I think that one was the loudest I've heard. Like this one was just 2 weeks later. So you got it's hard to get these fans in there. It's not like the main event didn't have like huge names. It was American versus a Chinese guy in Saudi Arabia. It wasn't going to be a huge turnout for that. But I think Ford goes to 130. I think he can pick up a belt at 130. Ball is a smaller guy. He'll stay at featherweight. There's still great fights for him at featherweight. I think his fan-friendly style. Great fight. We thought it was going to be a good fight. It ended up being the best fight on the card. Love that. Love the whole card. This was a great, great card, top to bottom. I don't want to focus on the negatives. Yeah, it was long, but who cares? The fights are really good. I don't care how long it is. The Turkey Ala Al-Sheikh, he listens to the fans. I would not be surprised if they try to speed these up a little bit more. That's the only thing I think in my mind, but it wasn't that big of a deal. I like the 5-on-5. I think they're going to continue to do it.
Don't change a thing. Just don't do them on Fridays. Keep them long. I'm okay with long. I barbecue all day. I multiple rounds of different meats that we're eating as we hang by the pool.
I got to come to one of these.
And you got to get down here. We gotta do a Inside Boxing live pod from
Chris Algieri. People would love that.
The Chris Algieri, the Team Algieri compound.
I will say this: what we're gonna do though in Vegas. In Vegas, we're going to do we're going to do like a workout in the hotel. And yes. We're going to have to document that. I'm going to see if I can try to keep up with one of your hotel workouts. Because yes. Now that I'm like on this health kick and now that I've been working out, I'm looking at my weeks and I'm trying to plan out when I can work out. Like this upcoming week, I got here in the city. I have a lot of events. I've got InnoWays coming to New York City, the Boxing Writers Dinner. I'm doing like a documentary, I think for Netflix. I'm gonna be in, and I got a lot of shit going on this week.
Look at this
so guy. I'm like, all right, yeah, you know. So when am I gonna get into the gym? So that's how I'm thinking now, Chris, because it's all about mindset, championship lifestyle.
Is it gonna be weird when we're both famous? Like I've been famous for a long time. Like now that you're actually gonna be famous, is it gonna be weird?
I'm getting there. I'm really about to hire an agent. necessary evil. I had an agent for like a year and the guy tried to extort me. I'm not going to give you his name. The guy was a piece of shit. So I've been, I was kind of turned off to agents, but now like, you know, we're having some success. I want to see what's out there. I want to see what I can get, what I can't get on my own. Cause I've been able to get deals on my own.
Fans and listeners, I don't have an agent. Never have. Just to tell you where Dan's head's at. Just so you know.
Well, I never have one either. And we got this DraftKings deal, and I don't have to, we don't have to give 10% to anyone, which is awesome. We got the PPV deal. Don't have to give 10% to any agent. So I like that. But there are certain things that I can't get. There are certain rooms that I can't get into yet. And I want to get into those rooms. Well, so
you can't get into the room by the building, Dan. That's how right. power players move.
I forgot where I was going here. But anyway, yes, I'm thinking about Las Vegas next week. And I'm like, all right, I want to work out in the hotel. Hotel gym is probably really nice at the MGM. So I got to see what you do in a hotel workout.
Yeah, it's the MGM gym. It's okay, actually. It's not the best one. Park MGM.
Does it have everything you need, though?
Yeah. But it's just not a lot of space.
Dumbbells.
It's way bench. Too much cardio. Way too much cardio in there. Park MGM is fantastic. They have a really good gym. I know every good gym in Vegas. Park MGM is actually a really solid.
We're staying
gym.
At the MGM, the main one, not Park this time.
Not the Park. Yeah, we're staying at the main one, the big one with the lions.
The lion. The ring. Yes, the classic one. I whenever I see the MGM, I think of Mike Tyson or Floyd. It's also the 100th event in the history of the MGM Grand Garden Arena. This fight's not at T-Mobile. This fight is in the Grand Garden Arena, Tank versus Frank, and they're doing like a Friday night. I got an invite.
I do love that arena, by the way. I like it better than T-Mobile.
Friday night, we got an invite to some like red carpet event.
Oh yeah, I got that email. I was going to ask
but
you about
it. It's kind of coinciding with our Barry's dinner.
What night is that? It's Thursday or Friday?
Friday. We have a decision to make.
Aye.
Barry's.
Aye.
Barry's Prime. Anyone out there listening right now at the end of the show when things get weird?
Maybe we do Barry's Thursday.
I got to check the schedule. I got to check the schedule. I'm not in Vegas mode yet. I got to get through this week. Great episode. Boxing continues to be on a heater. More fights coming next week. Xander Zayas headlines at the Garden. I'll be there all week long. I'm going to try to interview Inoue. It's my goal. I reached out to the top ranked people. I want to do mini mic interviews with Inoue and see what this guy's all about. Get some That's personality badass. Out of him. Yeah, I got to shake the guy's hand. I just want to shake his hand, take a picture with him, and do an interview.
That's Man, you might be week, taller than him. That'll be nice to be a taller.
I'm almost taller than Canelo. Like that was a lot of the when I took the pictures with Canelo, everyone was like, "Dude, how?" First of all, a lot of people DM me, "Who is that?" I was like, "It's Canelo."
Let's not say you're almost taller. Let's just say. You're almost.
We were seeing eye to eye. Me and Canelo were seeing. He's built like a house, and I'm like 165, soaking wet.
You are almost his height. Let's not say you're almost taller. Let's be accurate. But in a way, I think you're gonna have inches on. I think you're gonna be taller.
Oh yeah, you guys are freaking 122 pounds.
He's got a big hair though. He's got that big thing going on. He's got coiffed hair. Yeah.
A lot going on, guys. We're right in the middle of it. It's a great time to be a boxing fan. Thank you for listening. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We'll talk to you later on this week.
Feel the rush. Live thoroughbred racing is happening now at Laurel Park, the Players Track. Every Friday through Sunday, the gates open at 11 a.m. and the action starts at noon. Free admission, fast-paced racing, and real wagering excitement from start to finish. Pick your horses, place your bets, chase the win. From live racing and simulcast action to great food, special events, and nonstop sports viewing, Laurel Park is where the action lives. Come, win, play. Visit LaurelPark.com.